allowing us to be here this evening. We're thrilled to be here and thrilled to be at the church this evening. And you start thinking about all the different places you could be this evening. And aren't you thankful you're in church? I don't know if you remember like I can remember. I can remember a time when Sunday used to be my day off. And I don't want to go back to those ways. It was sometimes when we look back at the old days, we kind of glorify them in a way that is a little unfair. We forget how unhappy we were and how unsatisfied we were, and God has just been so good to us. Would you take your Bibles with me this evening? We'll go to Psalm 40 this evening, Psalm 40. And once again, we're thrilled to be here with you this evening. I'm Derek Hagland. I'm the Vice President at Grace Baptist College. What that fancy title means is it's my job to make sure the college does what the pastor wants it to do. And I've been there for 15 years. I was a youth pastor for a little over 10 years at Grace. And for the past 4.5 years, I've been working at the college. And so we're just thrilled to be involved with the college ministry. And so this evening, I know that having a tour group came in, they're the main attraction. And they're singing. I hope they've blessed you. And they've blessed me. I could hear them this morning when they were singing. And we have all sorts of things on the table. If you're into getting some good music in your house, we have several CDs. They're normally $15. We give them to you as a Christmas special for $10 a piece. They are on iTunes. You can get them. So we just save you all the work of going there. And you can get those for $10 a piece. We have a brand new book that is out, and every cent that we make from it is going to the college, and it's called Navigating Through 21st Century Technology. Every home where you have children and young people and teenagers in college and career age, where you have technology in the home, you ought to get this book. It's normally $14.95. We give it to you for $12. It's a resource. It's got all sorts of things that'll help you. A brand new spiritual advisory label. Each book comes with a disc and five of these little labels that you can put. They're small enough to put on a game controller, a radio in a vehicle, a laptop, a cell phone. And what it is, it's just a spiritual advisory sticker, just like you'd see these parental advisory stickers that warn you of the content that is in whatever you are buying, that it's got some things that are not appropriate. This sticker reminds the user of all technology that, hey, is fun and is exciting and helpful the technology can be, that these things could spiritually harm you. And I hope you'll go by and see what that's about. It's not meant to be deep. It's meant to be very practical and very helpful. You can sit down and reading in a setting, sit down about an evening or two and read it in just a setting. And that's something brand new that we have available for you. I hope you'll get that. Hope it'll be a help to you. Psalm 40 this evening, Psalm 40. And look, a little bit about myself. I have 5 children, and they're crazy, just like their mother. I'm really kind of quiet and calm, and she's just wild. Actually, you notice I wait till I get 3 or 4 hours away before I make those kind of statements, because I am afraid of her. But God is doing a great work in our lives, and we're having a lot of fun. You can tell, I've been a youth pastor, so I've had, boy, coming over and they give me these titles and things, I've had to try to grow up and things. I was having so much fun. I was living out my childhood with in the youth ministry, and then they put you in a college setting, and it's like having a youth group and no junior hires, and that's fun in and of itself. And so, but I love giving my life to the next generation. Like I said, I have 5 children. I've got 2 boys. The oldest and youngest are our boys, and then we have 3 girls in the middle. I've got 2 of them, Andrea and Bethany, with us this evening. And I'll tell you a quick story. Our youngest, Jack, he has just been a blast. He's 5 years old. He owns our Christian school, all right? He just walks around, and they love him. I mean, he is just, this is the kind of kid that he comes, and last year's in K-4, one of the teachers, Mrs. Varney, says, I happen to look over there, and they're doing the pledges in the morning. Here's Jack. He, you know what these kids do. You got to frisk your kids when they go to school anymore. What are they taking? And he brought in a big old Nerf gun, and red-blooded Jack's got his hand over his heart, big old Nerf gun just like this, saying the Pledge of Allegiance in our Christian school. And Jack loves to play. He does not like to be disturbed. I mean, he's all boy. And one night, oh, this was probably back in the spring, and I said, Jack, why don't you say the blessing over the meal? And Jack said, okay. And he said, Dear Lord, I hate church. I hate it so long. I don't want to go to church. All I want to do is pray. And here's the preacher's family having to tell his kid, don't pray. You can't pray like that. That's not how we pray. And so we were headed to church or coming home from church one night. And Jack said, will someone pray for me? My belly hurts. And so someone prayed. He says, no, I want the whole family to pray. So on the way home, we had to go through the whole thing. Everybody had to pray for him. We got done praying for him. And he said, Mama, God's magic isn't working. My stomach still hurts. And like a good woman, she turned around and says, probably because you hate church, Jack. And he says, no, it's my favorite now. I love church. And so we got to keep an eye on him. It's like having little children in the house, you know. It's fine when they're loud, but when it gets quiet, you know something is going on, and you better go check on that. So you pray for us. We still got a couple little ones, and they are mischievous, and we're having a great time. Now, the Christian life ought to be a blast. You know, if it's not the best life, let's find out what is, and let's live it. But the Christian life is a wonderful life to live, and I hope tonight you'll be encouraged. My goal is not to be long tonight. I want to give you just a thought and encourage you just a little bit. Let's look there. Would you look with me at Psalm 40? Psalm 40, and we'll read the first three verses. The Bible says in Psalm 40, beginning verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Verse 2 says, He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. In 2009, May of 2009, Churchill Downs of Kentucky hosted the 135th prestigious horse race known as the Kentucky Derby, the most exciting 2 minutes of sports. And on May 2nd of 2009, 19 of the world's most fantastic horses in the realm of horse racing loaded into the gates and waited for the sound of that bell to ring and the gates to open to start the race. And what happened in 2009 in this race was incredible. I know a little bit about the Kentucky Derby. My dad has gone in tradition, has gone for 20 years. It's just kind of his tradition. He goes to the Kentucky Derby. And in 2009 is when the 50-to-1 shot, the horse named Mind That Bird, participated in the second greatest upset of the 135-year Derby history. And I want to show you what happened. It's an incredible race, and you hear the 50-to-1 shot. And I like it when the underdog comes and wins, and you say, hey, that's incredible. But what really happened during this race was awesome. The coverage of the Sports Illustrated magazine provides two pictures. I'm going to try to get this correct here if I have this. Kind of hard. You can't really see it with the way the lights are. But this is a panoramic view, and here's what you can do. You can go and you can search on the web, and you can find these pictures. But I'll tell you, it's incredible. This top picture, as you see, it's a little dark here, but it's a panoramic view of all these horses. And if you look about where the shadow is, where this mic is, that's about where the first place horse is. And then this is Calvin Burrell, and he is riding Mind That Bird, and he is in dead last place. And I don't just mean last place, major last place. I believe it's 30 lengths behind. And then you see another picture here, which is another panoramic view. And once again, it's a little bright. The picture that I gave the gentleman doesn't do it justice. But you see right over here would be last place, and then you see first place, and it's Calvin Burrell. The most interesting thing between these two panoramic shots is there was 21 seconds between this photo up top and the photo in the bottom. Now, when you think about that particular picture, it's amazing. And it's exciting to think that there's a 21 seconds that Calvin Burrell went from last place at 30 lengths behind the winners to finish 6 3/4 lengths out in front. It's the largest margin since the Triple Crown winner back in 1946. You say, well, what does all this mean? What's all this mean? So the 50-to-1 shot pulled it out. And hey, you know, it's pretty cool. And by the way, I'm not saying that I would advise you to go, you know, horse racing and things like that. But if you type in, you can find this race. It's pretty incredible to watch when you think about the underdog. But here's what's pretty incredible. Here's what all this means. The cover of Sports Illustrated showing Calvin Burrell and his first place finish, here's what it was. There he is, the 50-to-1 shot, the Derby long shot. The winner energizes horse racing. And you can't see it real well, but just above the 50 to 1 is the article that described the incredible race, and is called Miracle in the Mud. It was one of those days where it had been raining, and the track was just disgusting. It was mud. And that is what they named it. This is the cover of Sports Illustrated showing Calvin Burrell and his first place finish on Mind That Bird. And as I was considering this incredible sports story and noticed the headline entitled Miracle in the Mud, I got to thinking about this entire thing. And I got to thinking about that's exactly what we were. That's why I want to give you the thought this evening. Just a simple thought of miracle in the mud. And that's what we are. We're all miracles in the mud. Our Bible verse that we quoted tonight says this: I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And you know, I get to thinking about this race and the cover title, Miracle in the Mud, and I get to thinking about where I was before I came to Christ. I get to thinking about how we're all born sinners. And you say this, I got to thinking about how without Christ, we had nothing. And you know, none of us is perfect. And thinking about my own life and my own sin, and thinking about what the Bible has to say about the payment of sin, that the only hope I had was death in hell. And you talk about a 50 to 1 shot. It was infinity to 1. I had no hope to get me to heaven on my own. I had nothing. And that's exactly, look at, we're all in the same boat. And I don't know about you, but I need to be rescued. And when I came to Christ, I got rescued. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for me. We are all worse than 50 to 1. And that means there was no hope. But with salvation in Christ, we became the upset. We became the miracles in the mud. Hey, think about our scripture being pulled up out of that miry clay, out of that deep mud. And that's what God has done for us. The moment we got born, from the little child that got saved when they were 5 years old in Sunday school, all the way to 50, 60, 70 year olds, we all got pulled out of the mud. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, I'll tell you this, we're all miracles in the mud. Worse than a 50 to 1 shot, because on our own, we had no hope. We were the ones that the commentators would laugh at. We're the ones that they said, don't even bet on him. Don't even put any effort and investment in that person. They're not going to make it. And you know what? I think about the scripture. He's brought us up out of the miry clay. He set our feet upon a rock. He gave us a sure foundation. He established our ways. He gave us direction. And the Bible says He put a new song in our mouth. He's changed our hearts. He's changed our lives. If I could put it in the words of Sports Illustrated, if you're even allowed to do that, I would put it this way. All we are is simply miracles in the mud. You know, a 50 to 1 shot victory truly is a miracle when you think about it. And when the long shot pulls out the victory, there's a great payoff. I hate to tell you this, but I think you can guess by way of introduction. I told you one of my relatives who have frequently gone to the Kentucky Derby. Now, you pray for my family. I don't come from a church family, all right? And my father, my family, him and his wife put a few dollars on the 50 to 1 shot, and it paid a $40,000 return. He said, you have to stand in an IRS line because they want to get their taxes before you even get it out. You stand in an IRS line, and you get... They take out the tax dollars right there. My dad said there's a thing called a trifecta, and this guy had bet a handful of dollars on the worst three odds of that race. After taxes, he had $198,000. You say, what are you talking about? I'm not telling you to go out and bet, all right? But I am telling you this. I am telling you when the 50 to 1 shot, when someone believes in the 50 to 1 shot, there is usually a pretty incredible payoff. And can I tell you something? We've been bought with a price, and we have something to give back. We can serve. And look at, when you look at what we were nothing. And to know in Christ that God would even use us to do anything, that's incredible payoff. Incredible payoff. The point is this: many people were affected from this race in a good way, because of the miracle. And the same is true in our lives. Before Christ, we were hopeless, we were worthless. But now in Christ, what's the payoff? We are joint heirs with Christ because of our conversion. And that's affected others in a positive way. So tonight, as we think about the thought that we are miracles in the mud because of Christ, I want you to consider some things in your Christian life. I want to challenge you by way of using the 2009 Kentucky Derby. First thing I'd like to challenge you with tonight is the first thought is this. Number one, don't listen to the commentators. Don't listen to the commentators. You know, listening to the commentators can be pretty discouraging. Now, watching the Lions can be pretty discouraging. Wasn't it encouraging on Thursday for those of you that you can be sinful? How many watched like I did? You watched the Lions win? Anybody like that? Okay, you're not allowed to do that. Okay, you did. All right, good. We're safe. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm going to get yanked. But I think the first time since 2003 they won, usually we're not that excited, all right, about them. But it was a couple weeks ago. They were playing, and I forget what team it was, and they were saying, the commentators were already saying, I forget who it was. It might have been Florida or something like that. They were saying, no, it was Dallas, I think it was. And they were saying, hey, they're finally going to have a winning season. They're all talking about Dallas, how great they are, and they needed this win and everything. And Detroit came out and turned around and won it. And I like that when the odds are stacked against you and you turn around and you pull out a victory. But look, if you're not careful, if those Lions would have been listening to the commentators, it would have been discouraging. If Calvin Burrell would have had in his headpiece, listening to the commentators, as they're reading off, when they start the Kentucky Derby, that guy talks real fast, and he starts listing off all the people in first place, second place, and he's naming all these kind of things, and then it's Calvin Burrell 30 lengths behind. Boy, that would be discouraging, wouldn't it? So you can't listen to the commentators. The 50-to-1 shot is nothing to brag about in a race. The 50-to-1 shot does not have a lot of fans, and you don't get a lot of bets. There's nobody really pulling for you. You're just kind of on your own. And during the race, it would have been discouraging, embarrassing, and insulting to listen to. I mean, even the last place. I love my son, Luke. He'll watch sports. He'll be like, that guy's horrible. I'm like, Luke. He made the pros, okay? He might not be the best pro, but I doubt that any of those guys are horrible, you know? Now, that guy's an idiot. I think he probably knows a little bit more than you do. But you know what? Even though he's the 50-to-1 shot, he was in the Kentucky Derby, and he was there, so he knows a little bit of something. But if he were to listen to the commentators, it'd have been discouraging. Like, what is this guy doing on a horse? He's an idiot. He's a moron. He might as well just park it and quit. But I like those who go against the odds, don't you? And I like those who don't give up. They just keep going. Calvin Burrell, who was the jockey that won, had a job to do. He stayed at it no matter what his place was. And may I remind you, the jockey wasn't paid to quit. He was paid to ride and do the best that he can. And you know what? If the best was last place, then so be it. We're all in a race, and it's not about me beating you or you being me. It's about us fulfilling and doing what God has called us to do. But the commentators are just that. They're commentators. It's like, you ever hear these commentators? Yeah, man, you know what? He shouldn't have done this. He should have done that. I'd like to see you do it. And usually the commentators, you're like, they're 60 plus. It's like, you put you out for one play. You know, you couldn't do anything. But they've got all these commentators. But look, they really don't care. They might like the sport, but they don't care. They don't have anything invested in the first or last place person. There's really no love. There's really no relationship. There's no really connection. I think about Jerry Bruckheimer, who's known as Mr. Blockbuster. He is one of the most successful movie producers of all time. In 2006, he netted $120 million through movies and TV. And here's what he said about the critics. He made this statement. He said, if I made films for the critics or someone else, I'd probably be living in some small Hollywood studio apartment. His whole point is, look, at anything I make, people are going to like and they're going to hate. And the critics are always going to be out there. If I listen to the critics, I'll never do anything. And can I tell you something? If you just listen to the critics, and by the way, the world is full of critics. Why do you go to church? Why do you believe in the Bible? Why do you go out soul winning? Why do you do this? Why do you pray? What a waste of time. What a waste. You're the underdogs. And may I, since we're talking about sports, can I just tell you something? There is nothing sweeter than going to someone who's got the home team advantage. Walking in, say it be a high school, a homecoming, or a big college game or pro, and you walk in and someone's got a really good record. You walk in, you're the visiting team, and everybody's against you, and you pull out and they've got the home team advantage, and you walk out the victor on the other side. There might not be a lot of people cheering, but you walk out the victor. That's pretty cool. Can I just remind you, in the world, this is not our home. We're just the visitors. We're on the winning side. And we might not be able to hear the cheers from the heaven stands, but we're going to walk out of here, praise God, on victory side. And we are going to celebrate that one day. But if you're not careful, you listen to the commentators, you'll think, we're just wasting our time. What are those people doing on Sunday night, going to church and carrying little Bibles and, you know, trying to worship God? What a waste of time. What a waste of time if you listen to the commentators. in your Christian life, don't listen to the commentators. All that matters is what the owner and the keeper of your soul thinks. You know what? Calvin Burrell had one person to please. That was the person that paid him to ride that horse. That's who put me here. That's the person. I'm going to run the best race I can. And can I tell you something? I don't care what the commentators say. Guess who we're supposed to please? Our owner. We've been bought and paid for. And then you just run and you don't listen to what the world says. You don't listen to the commentators. You just do what God has given you to do. During the horse race, all that mattered was that the horse's owner was rooting for them because he had an investment. And God's made an investment in us. And he's rooting for us. And my challenge is just keep going, doing your job, staying at it, stand. Secondly, not only don't listen to the commentators, but secondly, don't mind the mud. You know, when I tell you there's 19 horses out there and it's a muddy track, do you understand? If you're in last place, you have 18 horses in front of you. If you're in last place, you got a lot of mud coming your way. Last place is a tough place to be in a horse race, especially when the track's muddy. And you're surrounded by the mud, the dirt being kicked up by 18 other horses. It can be dirty, disgusting, and discouraging place to be. That's why the jockeys wear glasses to help their ability to see. And the Christian life, it's the same thing as well. Don't mind the mud. And by mud, I'm referring to all the sin and junk that we're surrounded by. You know, our Christian race, you're going to see junk all over the place. From the TV to movies to just driving down and on the freeways and looking at the billboards and all the junk and just reading the news, you'll find all sorts of things. Go to the mall, wherever, and there's sin and filth everywhere. It can be discouraging, it can be disgusting, and thinking, what are we doing? Are we even making a difference? And I bet you that Calvin Burrell is glad that he didn't let the mud cause him to quit. You know, Proverbs says this, Proverbs chapter 4 says, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee, ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established, turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. You know, concerning the mud, you got to ignore it, you got to pass by it, you can't let it stick to you, you got to get away from it, you got to stay clean, and don't let it stop you. Just like a jockey's got glasses, you say, how am I going to see in this sin-cursed world? I'll tell you, we've been given some spiritual glasses called the Word of God. The Word of God that'll light our path. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In the day and age where the filthy mud and sin surrounds us, let the Bible clearly guide you in everything that you do, and you just stay on course. If we're going to see clearly, then we're going to make it, we got to use our spiritual glasses. We're miracles in the mud. If we're going to continue to be miracles in the mud, we can't listen to the commentators. Don't mind the mud. And lastly, don't quit no matter what. Don't quit no matter what. You know, I want you to consider what Calvin Burrell said about the beginning of the race. Here's what he said in the article in Sports Illustrated. He said, in the Derby, the smallest mind that bird, his horse, he says, was just squeezed coming out of the gate. He said, once that happened, I just put him on a loose rein and I dropped back and relaxed. Burrell wasn't quitting. He was waiting for the right time to make his move. Listen to what the write-up about the final moments of the race said. He was in last place in the quarter mile, last on the half, last at three quarters. What took place next was stunning. Burrell passed 18 horses in 21 explosive seconds. He shot by General Quarters on the rail, swept outside past Atomic Rain, ducked inside, and just past the 3/16th pole, squeezed through by a tiny gap between Join in the Dance and the rail. When it was all over, the jockey, Calvin Burrell, would head to the victory circle simply because he would not quit or settle for defeat. Although it looked awful, if you go back and you look at where he was in last place, it all changed in 21 seconds. And you know, in the Christian life, far too many of us quit before God comes through with the victory. I've been there. You've been there. We say, well, God didn't come through. Well, hold on. You say, well, he let me down. I don't have any hope. Well, hold on. I say to you, hold on, give it 21 more seconds. Give it a 21 more second Burrell try. Hey, if you truly think about it, listen, you'll never know what's around the next corner if you don't try. Well, I was in Bible college, preacher. I had left my whole family. They all thought I'd lost my brain. I went off to Bible college and they thought, my goodness, what happened to Derek Hagland? I mean, I was giving it my very best shot. I think I owed $1,600 on my school bill. You had to have your bill paid down to like $250 to take your exams. And one of my spiritual friends in my dorm said one of these phrases, well, brother, just trust the Lord. Well, you trust the Lord. You don't owe $1,600 tomorrow. You know, it's easy for you. And I remember praying early in my Christian life, and I said, and it was a pathetic prayer. I mean, I deserve to get slapped in the side of the head by God. I was being kind of mouthy. Have you ever been there where I said, Lord, I came all the way down here. I followed you from Gaylord, Michigan, all the way to Knoxville. I don't know anything. I've given everything. And I need $1,500, or I need $1,600. I need whatever to take my exams. And Lord, if you're really there and you really do miracles, would you provide a miracle? In Jesus' name, amen. It wasn't like one of these Shekinah glory prayers. It was me being defeated. I went to bed. You have to understand, we didn't have cell phones and things that day, so we had a pay phone in the dorm. And if you got a phone call at 5 or 5:30 in the morning, and someone woke you up and said, hey, you have a phone call at 5 or 5:30 in the morning, even now, that's a scary thing, isn't it? Said, your dad's on the phone. He needs to talk to you. I thought, oh no, something's happened. My lost father. Derek, I need to talk to you. I said, well, what? He says, I had a dream last night. You need some money. Is that true? I said, it is. He said, I just want to let you know your grandmother's sending you $500. I'm sending you $500. And your mother's sending you $500. Will that help you? And I said, absolutely. Yes, sir, it will. Now, I wish I could tell you when I hung up the phone, preacher, that I was like, skippity-doo-dah, back to my bunk saying God is so great. No, here's what it was. I got back to my bunk and I got down and I said, dear Lord, I'm so sorry. I quit too early. You have been so faithful. And I wish it would have been like in faith. I would believe in God. But you know what? I just needed to give it another 21 seconds, didn't I? I felt like I was in last place and I wasn't. He had everything taken care of. You know what? I just think we quit sometimes too early. Before you give up, before you quit, think about how God has done it for you in the past. I can't tell you how many times when I found myself in another, it might not be financial, but another dorm experience where, Lord, I need to trust you. And you think back about how God has done it in the past, and it encourages you. It says, God, I've seen you do great things in the past. I believe you're going to do it again. You truly think about it in your life, God has a pretty good track record. Here's an interesting side note with that thought. Calvin Burrell held back, and guess what? He said, I had been there before. His name is Calvin Burrell. It ends with R-E-L, but they call him Calvin Burrell. It's his nickname, R-A-I-L. If you know anything about horse riding, riding that rail can be very dangerous. And so he has a nickname for it. But this wasn't the first time where he's been in last place, held back, saw his opportunity, went after it, and nailed it and came out a victory. So I can't imagine if he's sitting there going, I'm sitting back here going, this doesn't look good, but I've been here before. I've been here before. I'm going to wait for my opportunity. And he saw it, and he took it, and he ended up in the winner's circle. How many times have we had those dark nights, those dark times when we thought, what's going to happen? And we thought, you know what? I've seen this before. I've seen God come through before. I'm going to wait for my opportunity. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to follow him. Here's the thing. If you think about it, you've been in tough spots before. And I know it's just another voice behind a pulpit saying, hang on, don't quit, give God another 21 seconds. But I tell you this, he's worth the wait. He's worth the wait. Paul said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Miracles in the mud are determined usually after the race is over. Not during the race. We're in the race right now. And the areas where you think you're defeated, you don't even know. And I don't even know. You wait till we get in heaven to find out. You just stay faithful and say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I thought you were leading me in this area. I felt like a failure. And you just follow the Lord. And one day, it might not be on earth, but one day you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful. You say, what are you talking about, Lord? No, I just needed you to be faithful. You didn't know who was watching you. It was your children watching. It was people at work watching you. And you did what I needed you to do. What's that? I just needed you to be faithful. I needed you to hang in. I've often thought, if God worries about anything, I wonder if he's worried that we won't believe that he will do what he says he's going to do. Look it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep living for God. I was thinking about this race, and I was thinking about the end of the race. And the commentator makes reference that the victory was unbelievable. Who would have ever thought the great shock, the great upset to all the others? And I was thinking about the Christian life. You know, God's just wanting to do something great in our lives. He loves to take what everybody else thinks is worthless and the 50-to-1 shot and set them up on a pedal, so to speak, because everybody that sees that, they don't go, oh, wow, look at that person. They go, what a mighty God. With my life, the people in my hometown, I've been privileged to go back to my hometown. People would say this, especially when I first came back, what happened to Haglund? What happened to Haglund? And I'd often say, it's not what happened, it's who happened. But you know, a lot of people would say things like this. My parents, even now, Derek's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. It's almost like they're not saved yet, but they're all proud about that. But they look back and it's like people will look and they cannot refute that I didn't just get religion. I didn't just get a little something. That they say stuff like this, it must be the Lord. And I think God is looking at every person's testimony, every person's situation, and he says, we're all a bunch of 50-to-1 shots. And God says, if you'll let me have control, I will bring you into the winner's circle. You'll be humbled, but I will be able to get ultimate glory, because when the world looks at you and the commentators look at you, they won't be able to explain it other than a miracle in the mud. Our scripture, he's brought us up out of the miry clay. And tonight I just want to remind you of how wonderful God's been to us. We're miracles. Let's give him our very all. I don't have my wallet on me. I don't like to carry things in my pocket. So I have it on me right now. But in my wallet, I have a picture. After I got saved, preacher, I destroyed a lot of the pictures I had. I kept one or two. I have one that I kept. I was 17 years old. I had my head shaved all the way around here. You're saying your head shaved now. Yeah, but it wasn't always that way. Ben Potter has influenced me. All right, so. But I had it growing long, and, you know, I had a bandana. I had it all tied back like this, and I had this, you know, rock guitar and things like that. And I have a picture of that. A friend took a picture of me, and I've kept that one. And every once in a while, I'll pull that back out, and I'll remind myself. Sometimes it's good for us to remind ourselves, this is what was like when I had the reins. And I'm not saying anything prideful. Oh, look at me. Look what I've done. But you understand, God's done a work in your life too. And it's good for us to remind ourselves that all we are is a bunch of miracles in the mud. Anything good that anybody sees is because God reached down, pulled us out, and did something great in our lives. And here's a thought tonight. Let's just remember that we're miracles in the mud. Let's be thankful, and let's just take a moment and praise him. Don't listen to the commentators. They'll discourage you. Don't mind the mud. There's junk all around. And you say, well, can it be done? Well, I think Noah could attest that you can live victorious in a world that's pretty wicked. And you can't mind the mud, and you just got to decide, I'm not going to quit. I've been here before. God's going to come through. Let's stand together, shall we? And we'll pray. And here's what we'll do tonight. The altar will be open. I don't know what you're normal to doing on a Sunday night, but we'll have the pianist come. I'm going to pray. And maybe tonight it'd be good. I know it was Thanksgiving. So we're all up on our Thanksgiving. And I mean that sincerely. Thanksgiving is a time we're all reminded of what we need to be thankful for. But tonight, why don't we just thank God? Thank God that he has made us miracles in the mud. And maybe you've slipped away a little bit. Maybe you've gotten away from the Lord a little bit. And tonight, say, Lord, I want my life to honor and glorify you. I want you to get all the glory. And the winner's circle may not come till heaven. So let's be faithful. Maybe even listen to the commentators tonight, and you're discouraged. Maybe you've gotten some of that mud on you. It's all around, and you've gotten involved in some things you shouldn't be involved in. Maybe you just feel like, hey, I'm ready to throw in the towel. And tonight, you're willing to give it another spiritual 21 seconds. Whatever it is, the altar be open. If the God of the universe took time out of his busy schedule of running the universe, let's take time to respond to him.